Hi everyone, my name is Dr. Atul Pawar and I have a rich experience of 13 years in healthcare operations and management in various fields of healthcare. Let's discuss about non-medical and supportive services involved into the hospitals in detail and understand what exactly non-medical services or supportive services are required and crucial for a healthcare organization. Let's start with the housekeeping department. Housekeeping department are an asset for a good healthcare organization or a hospital. Essential for smooth functioning of any hospitals would impact into public relations positively, and it would contribute to psychological well-being of staff, patients and their relatives. It enhances the safety measures and also reduces the risk of accidents occurring inside the hospital. It also promotes an hygienic environment and crucial for healthcare setting. The organization structure basically depends on how exactly the housekeeping staff would be organized. The departmental leadership in smaller hospital is overseen by a director of nursing or a nursing superintendent. Housekeeping executives typically are science graduate or manage a day-to-day operations basically. The principals or pre-principal in housekeeping is basically good selection of staff, training of staff and supervision of staff. The main emphasis on the orientation and recognitions of all the functioning related to housekeeping is important aspect in the healthcare system or in the healthcare background. There are different type of departmentalization in housekeeping. The type of housekeeping is basically centralized or decentralized. There's a close collaboration with nursing, laundry and maintenance department for the housekeeping department. The facility and the space requirement for essential spaces of executives of housekeeper's office basically, or a clerical area of storage or janitor's closets in whole hospital floors, and effective maintenance of this particular areas is the essential part of the housekeeping staff planning. There has to be cleaning activities. There are some norms of periodic cleaning, daily cleaning. This daily cleaning would basically include a patient's room, casualty rooms, toilets, public area, consultation rooms, and ensuring the maintenance and hygiene of all these areas. Periodic cleaning is basically the activities which are performed like wall, window, floor waxing or furniture washing or carpet shampooing or maintaining the rooftops of the hospitals or ensuring preparedness during any seasonal effects or cleaning of the preparedness during the seasonal effects. These are the essential activities which happens in periodic cleaning. Essential for all thorough and comprehensive cleaning routine, basically. There are different type of cleaning techniques which anticipates into cleaning operations. There is dusting, which happens between low to high dusting on daily or periodic, based on how the need is, whether it is daily or whether it is periodic. It is part of integral maintenance and cleanliness at various hospital areas. Different areas require different type of cleaning and dusting which has to be done. There is sweeping and mopping which occurs in the hospital. Utilizations of brushes, brooms for sweeping, describing how the dry mopping or wet mopping techniques are been operational or with different surfaces has been practiced inside the hospital. And ensuring how exactly this deep cleaning or weight cleaning happens inside the hospital is the important factor. Waxing, washing and scrubbing. There are different techniques involved into the hospital practice to remove or maintaining or utilizations of the services, which includes waxing, washing and scrubbing. Waxing is basically protecting the surfaces and enhancing the appearance of aesthetic looks of the hospital, where which would be ensured briefly for the wooden floors or furnitures or any structures available inside the hospitals. There is some washing and scrubbing process which happens for dirt removal, stain removals, maintaining the cleanliness. So this different kind of removing of stain or removing of dirt and maintaining cleanliness occurs into the hospital with different type of cleaning reagents and tools which are used inside the hospital. There would be deep cleaning, there would be wet cleaning, there would be high deep cleaning methods which would be involved into the washing purposes. There is estimation and frequency of this cleaning process which has to be taken into consideration. The cleaning time estimation. This provides an insight into cleaning time requirements for different areas. Factors including the standards, traffic and local conditions. OPD department cleaning basically happens before the OPD department starts or utilization of that particular department. The cleaning of the floors. Basically, it highlights how significant the floor cleaning has been happening and how preventive measures or the guidelines are maintained for maintaining the floor quality inside the hospital and in different sections or different zones of the hospitals. There are different type of cleaning agents which are being used by housekeeping department. These are disinfectants and detergents, which enumerates how exactly disinfectants and detergents or cleaning agents are used at different location, different zones, different departmental requirements. How exactly the different disinfectant or detergents are used and what is the purpose of usage of that particular disinfectant or detergents in that region, what are the highlights of characteristics of application of each type of cleaning in different zones. Materials, basically factors like how exactly the equipments or the materials used inside the hospitals are being cleaned. What is the requirement and frequency of these materials to be cleaned at particular level, and importance of planning of how exactly that cleaning processes would start and end. There are some important control temperature measures or humidity factor resulting into cleaning process. How the clean room has to be highlighted. The basic highlight is importance of control temperature, humidity and reduce atmosphere impurities. This implement into air filtration systems for maintaining air purity. It requires a smooth and easily cleanable internal surface to minimize the particle generation. It incorporates well-sealed wall joints to prevent air leakage and ensures control condition. It also ensures insufficient lighting and efficiency of the work. It utilizes the fire resistant structure elements to enhance the safety. Design of the floor to tolerate heavy loads with option of static or unstatic properties. Now, let's come to another important aspect of the hospital, which is ambulance or a transportation service. Referred to as hospital on wheels or intensive care units on the wheel, the specification of ambulance is basically it has to be in the length of 116 inches and height of 69 inches. It should be unobstructed area of the head end of 25 inches and unobstructed area of foot end of 15 inches. The clear aisle space should be 12 inches for patient care and CPR during transportation. Ambulance allocation. For 250 to 300 bedded hospital with more than 6 to 8 kilometers of catchment area, it requires 3 ambulances. First ambulance for outdoor service like extramural services, which would be transporting patients outside the catchment area and bringing the patient inside the hospital. Second ambulance for transporting the patient within the hospital. So first ambulance would be basically transporting from PHCs to tertiary care or secondary healthcare centers. Second ambulance would be intra-departmental transfer where patients would be transferred from one hospital to another for better or specialized cure. Third ambulance would be a reserve in case of any breakdown of first or second ambulance. So it could be used as a backup ambulance and can be used during calamities or disasters. There's a staffing requirement in ambulance. There has to be 2 drivers in 8-hour shift as ambulance is 24 by 7 workable. So there, in all total, there are 6 drivers for 24 hours in 2 ambulance. 2 drivers on weekly day offs and leave reserve. So total 8 ambulance. 8 drivers in total and 1 cleaner for 2 ambulance. Driver training and vehicle maintenance. Ambulance drivers should be well trained in driving, have knowledge about highway codes, and use a periodic physical health checkup of vehicle. They should use a duty slip and authorization for vehicle use by a competent authority. Use of standard type of spaces, fuels, and lubricants for vehicle maintenance. Equipment used for planning an ambulance. It's a mobile emergency unit, so staffing with specialized trained person is highly important. There has to be highly skilled paramedics or an emergency medical technician available inside the hospital, inside the ambulance. A continuous training program to handle various medical emergencies should be undertaken for EMTs. There should be a certification of ALS and BLS protocols for this EMT technicians. Essential equipments which are required inside the hospitals include oxygen cylinders, ambu bag, AED, pulse oximeter, defibrillator. Defibrillators are the instruments basically used for cardiac emergencies. It is automated externally. So this act during cardiac emergency as a boon for a cardiac patients. Pulse oximeter monitors the oxygen level, saturation inside the blood. Ventilation support like ambu bag for manual recirculation of the breathing. Oxygen cylinder ensures immediate access to the supplement of oxygen. And life-saving equipments like fire extinguisher, which are essential for handling the fire emergency in and around the ambulance. ALS kit or advanced life support kit, which includes medications, advanced airway management tools and critical supplies. There is a trauma kit attached along with it, which is for handling the injuries, wounds and bleeding disorders. There has to be a proper medication cooling system attached into it, which would be facilitated with ice box. There is a sample storage, temporary storage collections for biological samples, fluid storage as well as blood storage in the transport transport vehicle, that is ambulance. There has to be a two-way radio system to facilitate the communication with the hospital and emergency. It could be facilitated through radio interventions or any other interventions. There should be a GPS navigation system inside the vehicle to ensure the distance covered by the ambulance during the case of emergency and how efficiently and timely the navigation is possible. Mobile phones for additional communication and coordination. There has to be infection control measures or protocols maintained. There should be PPE kit to ensure safety measures during infectious disease transfers, biohazard waste bins to proper disposal of contaminated materials, disinfectant and cleaning supplies to maintain hygienic environment within the ambulance before and after the patient care. There has to be pediatric and geriatric equipments present inside the hospital, which would enhance in managing the emergencies involved with infants and children during periodic check. It would also include a specialized tool for addressing the unique needs of elderly patients like wheelchair and mobility aids. Introduction of biomedical waste service. After ambulance, biomedical waste service proves an additional important service which has to be maintained inside the hospital. What exactly is the biomedical waste? Biomedical waste includes all waste generated during diagnosis, treatment or immunization part of humans or animals in with related to clinical research or transmission of the medicines to the patients. It encompasses a broad spectrum of material used in healthcare sectors. Waste generated during diagnosis, treatment or immunization are of diverse origin, originating from various healthcare processes. Biomedical waste ranges from used medical equipments to materials contaminated with the biological agent. Proper management is crucial in preventing health and environmental hazards during any of this treatment, diagnosis or immunization part. About 85% of non-hazardous and 10% of infectious and 5% of non-infectious materials are considered under hazardous waste. Waste composition breakdown is basically understanding the composition tailored for the disposal strategy. While significant proportion of non-hazardous, the presence of infectious and non-infectious hazardous waste underscores a need for specialized handling and treatment methods. There is categories of biomedical waste basically. Non-hazardous waste and infectious waste. Non-hazardous waste is basically all the kitchen waste or office waste, non-contaminated or packaging material waste which is disposed of. This disposing waste is handled in multiple waste channels and it has been taken away by local municipal authorities. Infectious waste, it is characterized as pathogens harmful to the human health, and safe handling and stringent protocols are to be maintained for contamination, segregations and treatment plant of this particular infectious waste. These are also taken care by the municipal authorities, but in a different way. Non-infectious hazardous waste are basically chemical, pharmaceutical or other medical materials possessing environmental risk. Regulatory compliance is adhered to regulations, government disposal of hazardous substance. There's another waste called radioactive waste. The source of this is basically diagnostic procedures or medical research or treatment involved into radioactive materials. Safe handling or compliance with radiation safety hazards and disposal regulations are to be maintained while handling the radioactive waste. There is a regulatory framework which has been designed by the government of India to understand what exactly the waste management and how exactly the waste management protocols take place, or how exactly the waste management protocols takes place. We have to ascertain certain objective to regulate the proper handling and treatment and disposal pattern of the biomedical waste. The application extends to all individual and facilities involved in the generation, handling and disposal of the biomedical waste. There are some environmental registrations. There are some key facts. Basically, there is an act basically in 1981 which reserves in prevention and control of the pollution. So there is a pollution certificate which is acquired by all the hospitals for regulatory and monetary purposes. This is a compliance for all the hospital made compulsory by government to operate a hospital or a nursing home. In Maharashtra, basically there is a nursing home management act which ensures that there is a prevention of regulatory management of waste done in a proper way. There are certain authorities, there are certain bodies, non-government bodies assigned to collect and handle the waste management in the nursing homes and hospital systems. Legal compliance, the institution aligned with the national environment laws and regulations are being assigned. They take care of the waste management protocols, implementation challenges and solution. There are different training and awareness which are taking place in hospital environment for awareness among the healthcare staff about how to tackle the waste. Waste management becomes an important aspect in regular training programs, disseminations of the practices of how exactly the waste dissemination happens. There are three types of dustbins placed inside the hospital environment which segregates the waste in three different categories: one generalized, other radioactive, and third as the waste which is collected from decomposed or disorganized body parts or body organs. There are some technological solutions to understand how the waste treatment plant or how the waste treatment occurs inside a particular system or a hospital. But these are actually now outdated. So there are some advancement or some research to be updated or probably conducted in near future. There are some solutions like autoclaving or microwave treatment and other environment friendly methods adopted by some of the organizations to control the waste management. Compliance monitoring. There are challenges ensuring how the consistent or adherent the waste disposal guidelines are being maintained or been regulated across the hospital or in healthcare background. There's a solution to it. There has to be a regular audit, inspections and penalties for non-compliance to foster the accountability. Government of India has currently started with penalties regulating to non-compliance of the waste management solutions Inc. Adopted by certain healthcare organizations that doing surprise audits and inspections and ensuring the penalties for non-compliance organization. There's a community engagement. There's large community involvement into the waste management. Community outreach programs with collaboration of local authorities and promoting the social waste disposal programs are to be practiced across the community as well as inside the hospital premises. Treatment and technology for the waste of biomedical waste. This is an autoclaving machine, which is a treatment plant incorporated by the hospital to manage the waste products or reuse the waste product. Autoclaving is a versatile biomedical waste treatment technology effective as low density materials such as plastic, metals, bottles and flasks. The process of autoclaving adheres to specific standards to ensure complete sterilization of biomedical waste. This includes maintaining precise temperature and pressure conditions within the autoclave to achieve the optimal results. Incineration. Incineration is a biomedical waste treatment method. It is subject to newly regulated emissions. This regulated address concern related to air quality and environmental impact. Incinerators are mostly adhered to stringent operating standards and includes combustion efficiency of less than 99.99%. Emission standards. These are basically for regulatory factors such as particular matters like carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, sulfur dioxide or other potential harmful substance. The primary chamber temperature or secondary chamber conditions and oxygen levels and the stack gas are closely monitored to ensure the compliance with the set standards of this incinerator. Other treatment technologies and disposal methods. There is a microwave which is applied to large medical waste unit involved in initial destruction phase. The waste undergoes shredding and steam spraying to increase the moisture content before exposure to microwave irradiation unit, effectively heating the waste over 900 degrees Celsius. There is a standard and limitations to microwave. Microwave treatment is subject to standards that dictate its suitability for non-cytotoxic or non-hazardous or non-radioactive waste. The process must comply with efficiency tests and performance guarantees ensures the consistent bacteria and pathogenic organisms are eliminated with this microwave treatment. There is another method called gas or vapor sterilization. This gas or vapor sterilization method is basically vaporization of chemicals for disinfectant. Ethyl oxide, a commonly used reagent, is a cautious handling material which has handled to status of suspected human carcinogens. Worker exposure to this gaseous or vapor sterilization are the concern, as the chemical may absorb on the treated material and may be hazardous to the health of the people who are conducting this gaseous or vapor sterilization techniques in and around the hospital sterilization unit. Given its potential hazard, the use of ethanol oxide, there is a safety precautions or safety protocols which are to be implemented to avoid the adverse effect on both human health as well as in the environment. There is a drain disposal or deep burial. The liquid waste basically dispose of, there are certain liquid material or certain human blood which has to be disposed in sink after autoclaving or reaching 1% bleach concentration. However, there are certain waste, including infectious material and production byproduct, which should not be drained or decomposed. So there is a compliance established to the standards, and deep burial has to be taken place. So deep burial of the waste product involving certain digging pits or covering the waste in lime or ensuring impermeability is the preventive contamination. Authorization has specified distance or safe location dedicated under the supervision of a medical or a dedicated authority. A crucial aspect is to other for the deep burial and regularly record keeping of how the burial site has been maintained or mandated is to be taken care by the hospital or the healthcare authorities. There is a transportation shortage and staff training for this all entire waste management protocols. Waste management in itself is itself untreated from any under transported vehicles and authorized component authority. Compliance with the government specified safety and regulatory methods should be applied while transporting any waste from the hospital to any waste management center or waste management unit. There's a time limit for storage of this biomedical waste. Any waste taken from the hospital is not stored beyond 48 hours. Implementation of measures to store beyond this time frame is a necessity to prevent adverse effect of health and management to the environment. There has to be a continuous staff training with which would include the comprehensive explanation of infections arising due to waste management protocols not being followed properly. There should be detail about objective process and safety measures which should ensure effective management and implementation of waste management. There should be a continuous education on how the staff would be able to handle the biomedical waste and how the assignments of delegating the responsibility of handling, segregating and disposing of the biomedical waste products happen. The other important factor involved into the hospital is dietary service. Hospital dietary service or the food service department or a nutrition service department or a hospital pantry has a prime objective of supplying the nutritious diet to the patient and the hospital employees. It emphasizes on providing a scientifically prepared diet tailored to specific disease condition for the protection and enhancement of the disease condition of the healthy condition in the patient. General functions of dietary services. Preparation and distribution of the meals is the primary function. Ensuring meals meet the psychological needs, including the calorie needs and elements of the food content. The main focus behind using the dietary services are terms of flavor, color and presentation of the dietary services. Responsibility includes proper planning, purchase, presentation, storage and distribution of the meals. It is done under supervision, training. There's a continuous recruitment and maintenance of the record inventories within the dietary department. There are different types of menu which are given to the hospital for patients and the hospital staff. There's a selective menu tailor for underlying disease condition devised by a dietitian for particular disease conditions. There's a master menu prepared by master chefs of the dietary services for hospital staff, optimizing the time and adapting the local needs. Role of dietitian. As a chief of food department, he holds the qualification in home economics, applied nutrition, or a hotel management and hospitality. His prime responsibility is planning a meal, having technical knowledge of nutrition, administrative duties, and formal and informal education and training of staff. Procurement, storage, and accounting of food material is the prime function of the catering service. Issuing rations and materials for daily cooking, menu planning, recipe standardization, and cooking of food has to be maintained. There is a distribution of food and preparation of modified diets. Education about importance of diets for both OPD and IPD patients should be guided. There has to be a proper teaching and training of junior dietitian and staff nurses about the nutrition principles of the food which is catered to the patient. Location, storage, and accommodation of the dietary service. There has to be a designated area or independent unit to avoid inconvenience of noise and cooking odors. There should be a preferred kitchen on the ground floor or with the better ventilation at any other floors, with proximity to store, dining hall, and elevator for different efficient delivery of the prepared food. The storage. The daily supplement of perishable item does not require storage, has to be purchased on a regular basis. Non-perishable items need to be have a short-term storage capacity. There has to be separate storage spaces for vegetable, meat, fish, and dairy products. There is recommended storage temperatures for various items, which has to be considered while storing them. Consideration of fuel storage and equipment storage are to be considered while planning out or layout of a dietary services. Space planning for dietary services. There has to be a division of generalized kitchen or a cooking area or separate cooking area for veg and non-veg. There has to be assembly and a trolley loading area. There has to be special kitchens based on dietary needs, based on high protein, disease oriented or age group related. There has to be other area where particular workmen or restroom or changing room or toilets and janitor stores has to be maintained. Dishwashing or centralized or dishwashing has to be either centralized or decentralized. Importance of garbage storage units and sanitation are to be alliterated amongst the food servicing agents. Consideration of washing the garbage cans and worker facilities are to be the protocols or standard operating procedures in the hospital. Food purchase and sanitization in hospital dietary services. Consideration of purchasing high quality food at economical prices should be the prime objective. Role of dietitian in planning a menu or selecting a standard and scheduling a delivery is important. Importance of constant liaising with the medical staff of how the dietary services are conducted and how important it is to conduct in a particular way. Sanitization, inspection of dietary department for cleanliness, safety protocols, fire precautions, and accidental reporting are to be taken into consideration. Nutrition-rich diets for holistic health, the vitality of the health of specific condition and ensuring overall well-being is the prime aspect of the dietary services. There has to be target nutrition aids in preventing and managing a disease condition. Well-prepared food or well-prepared diet, basically an appetizing meal, contribute to positive patient experience. Patient satisfaction correlates with the improved outcomes and compliance with the dietary needs. There has to be multidisciplinary care which has to be taken care for dietitian, physicians and other healthcare physicians to understand what exactly the dietary needs or service are being contributed in the healthcare system. It extends beyond the hospital in impacting the community health by promoting healthy eating habits and also educate the nutritional importance in preventive healthcare initiatives. MRD or Medical Records Department. This is the vital department and it holds all the database of the hospital at a given junction of time. Medical records has to be comprehensive, clinical, scientific, administrative or legal document related to patient care. These are systemic documentation of patient's medical history and diagnosis and therapy. Ethically and legally, considerations surround the intense personal nature of medical records. It traces a history back to Hippocrates, who maintained the medical records of first medical record unit established in 1667 at St. Bartholomew Hospital in England. There has been a standardization effects began in USA after in early 20th century. India emphasis on medical record keeping by communities like Bhore and Muralidhar in 1962 and 1946. There are vital records, such as birth or death record, requiring long-term preservation. There are certain records with high value records which are currently in use, like medical legal records. There are other records, useful records, which are in transit, or probably patient who is short active or alive or active for short duration of time. There is a socialized data, clinical data, and administrative data classification for the medical records, which includes patient's identification number, medical history, and admission dates and administrative details of the patient. There are different divisions of medical records and function, the location where the medical records are being kept, and how exactly the manpower or a technician is being planned for that particular medical records. Every 50 beds hospital would require one medical record technician. Thus, medical record officers are required for over 100 beds. There are some duties for medical record officers to oversee the department, supervise the medical record responsibilities, and correspond and respond. Duties for medical record technicians is to to maintain the records of discharge and coding with data collations of the all medical evidences present inside the hospital. There's a space requirement for it. There should be adequate administrative space, inquiry space, and additional space with the bed strength, preservation for the techniques of medical record longevity. It should follow an ISO standard with paper specifications. There has to be, this record room has to be fumigated with adequate spacing and closed steel racks. Atmospheric pollution and safety has to be maintained for fire safety and acidic gases. There are certain retention and computerization of medical records which are been currently practiced with HMIS system in place, which enhances the memory, facilitates the data retrieval, and simplifies the chart for abstracting the functions of how the retention of the medical records would be kept. There is a Freeman technique, basically summary sheet, history, physical examination, laboratory examination, with methods of indexing with alphabetically, numerical or serial number or terminal digits formatting to file their medical records. Different records, basically of physicians, progress notes, nursing records, and other relevant documents, are kept intacted with formulating or coding with a different digits. Then optimizations of the diagnosis, treatment, as well as key data is planned in a chronological order to understand the patient's healthcare journey. There are some legal and ethical compliance for justification and decisions and actions to be taken for holding the medical records inside the hospital. There has to be adequate progressive notes as well as documentation of the progress of the patients with symptoms, medications, the contributions of the healthcare professions, as well as patient education need to understand how the lifestyle changes and how the treatment protocols have changed over the period of time is taken into consideration. It has to be very accurate. Verification of data through cross-checking with the diagnostic reports and tests are to be done in the medical record department, and addressing to rectify the inconsistency or disparity anywhere. It is maintained economically as an economical feasible. Electronic health records are easy to store and reduces the paperwork and cost. Training of the staff on cost effectiveness and record keeping are to be practiced. The importance is basically understanding and planning and claiming the medical related benefits. For hospital administrators, is basically provides the data for financial manager and audits. For medical staff, it has been planning, education and research, and medical legal for evidence, settlements and protection. The hospital engineering and maintenance service. This was physical facilities and the maintenance area in the medical patient care. The operation of the department determines whether the clinical and administrative can lead to any operation collapse of the hospital. The effective maintenance ensures that safe and comfortable environment practice is being practiced inside the hospital. There are some controls and measures which are to be taken. In a corporate hospital, it is managed under the collaboration of different companies like Hospac, Hosmac, or SCC for the expertise. The regular training programs are maintained for the staff. The implementation of preventive guidelines are to be maintained. Adherence to the safety and standard regulations. It is supervised under certain operating engineer or biomedical and project management engineering department. It encompasses various departments like civil, electrical, biomedical, carpentry, ventilation and air conditioning. Collaboration with environmental agencies for sustainable practices and doing a regular audit to identify the areas for improvement. Hospital has a civil and engineering department for construction of sewage lines, setting up new hospital units or regularization of inspection of structural integrity of the hospital, conversion of wiring systems in the underground or overhead cables, uninterrupted power supply and regulating the electricity safety training inside the hospital. Biomedical engineering department understands the contract, annual contract inspections and repair of the equipments. Collaboration with the manufacturer for specialized equipment training, understanding the carpentry and plumbing department would go with hospital furniture and transitions of medicines, painting, garnishing, varnishing, eco-friendly furnitures and pest control measures. Ventilation and air conditioning unit for understanding the comfortness of the environment, HVAC, air quality monitoring, as well as collaborating with the environmental agencies for eco-friendly HVAC systems and ventilation system for guidelines for fresh intake of the air and regularly maintaining implementation for the energy efficient ventilations. There has to be check of filtration ducts and sanitary sanitary habits, sanitary and plumbing systems guidelines for non-absorptive acid resistant plumbing filterings, adaptation of sustainable plumbing materials. There are another systems of medical gas systems and O2 maintenance plans, basically installation of NARF, National Fire Prevention Association regulations, testing and maintenance of hospital O2 plants and location of the installation instruments for leak checks and understanding how the O2 plants are maintained inside the hospital. There is a collaboration of gas suppliers and for the quality control. The classic example of it is during COVID, Zakirullah Hospital in Nasik had an OT plant failure, which resulted into gas chamber causing death of around 3 people inside the hospital for having a O2 plant malfunctioning and O2 plant O2 gas pipeline burst. So, O2 plant maintenance proves an critical aspect for the hospital to be maintained part of it. Hospital pest control programs, there has to be elimination of breeding of the places, collaboration with the other waste reagent strategies and reduces the pest habitats. Chemical controls like DDT, and adaptation of integrated pest management practices has to be taken into consideration while taking all the pest management control measures into consideration. There are biological and genetic controls which has to be taken for care with larvishing of fish or genetic control measures against mosquito resistance and implementation of biological control methods. There are some newer methods which are to be taken into consideration to attain the pest control measures and strategies to be implemented for best pest control results in targeted areas. HR practices, there has to be flexible work schedule for all the employees, ensure weekly offs and social commitments for domestic cause, launch of ethical programs for integrity, aims for boost and honesty productivity, integrity within the hospital, involvement of all members in the organization, policies to be fair with all employees, creating a conducive work atmosphere, and appreciation letter and dynamic career progressions. It should also emphasize on recognitions of specialized roles and importance of persons in the hospital. There has to be some cultures and values which has to be impacted in the organizations for successful management. There has to be tactful management. Love and affection is the care or core of the services which are given in the hospital. So policies and formations of policies should be adherent to the staffing needs as well as would be formulated according to the needs of the hospitals with taking human rights into consideration, as well as highlighting the diversified responsibilities of all the holistic approach given by the management to the HR. There are different methods to understand how the HR planning would be done. Employee turnover index, healthcare statistic analysis, 5-year manpower planning, incorporation of statistic and systematic methods. Basic challenges is conflict between hospital planning and HRM estimates, scientific nationality, as well as relationship with effective resource utilization. There has to be proper recruitment and selection process devised on basic on the job requirements and the skills of the patient person. Emotional intelligence quotient is given as a high ranking in HR practices in healthcare. The significance of soft skills are to be developed in healthcare system, which are implemented in corporate structure by HR and to be implemented in government sector. There has to be proper induction, placement and socialization planning done by HR for proper information services in the healthcare system. There are certain components of HR development training, formal and informal structures, continuous training programs and utilization of HRD department and external trainers. There has to be proper performance analysis based on bars or 360 feedbacks. There has to be a continuous career development which would affect directly on the productivity and life quality of the individual. There should be a determinant of how the wages and the salaries are being practiced inside the hospital. There should be benchmarking and revising of the corporate pay policies on a regular basis. Integration of human resources should be with the control relationship with planning and organizing committee of the hospitals and director level of the hospital. There has to be proper HRIS system installed inside the hospital to manage all the decision making mergers or acquisitions inside the hospital. There are different utility challenges, different challenges which would adopt with HR functions. Attrition rate would be the prime focus into it, and managing the human relations at the workplace is the prime focus in utilizing the technology. So adapting the different needs or dynamic needs of modern workplace helps into management of the HRM in a proper way. Thank you.